At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello and welcome to episode 61 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Lunga. And Sim, it's been too long since we've talked about Purdue hoops. So it's time that we talk about that. Some basketball is right around the corner. And with that, media days are actually this week taking place in Rosemont, Illinois. The basketball team will be meeting with the media on Thursday. And Sim, I for one cannot wait for the season to tip off here in just a few weeks.
Yeah, man, it's getting to be that time. I think everybody who's been paying attention, you know, we've all had kind of this eager anticipation for this upcoming year. You know, as we were getting various guys in the transfer portal. And then I think about a guy like Omer Meyer, as we were watching his him play in the FIBA tournaments, and for some of us here on this podcast, it was hard to contain their excitement. The fact that we're at media day just kind of lets you know. And then I think it's will be about 2 weeks away. It'll be 2 weeks this Friday from the Kentucky exhibition game. So yeah, man, it's just it's about to be full steam ahead with basketball, which might come as a saving grace if this football doesn't turn around a bit.
And we will have much more hoops talk here in the next few weeks, including a full episode to kind of preview everything. But did just want to kind of highlight, since the with media day starting, of course, that means that the preseason awards are out as well. And no surprise, Braden Smith is the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year, following up last year as the Big Ten Player of the Year. Third straight year that a Boilermaker has been named the preseason Big Ten Player of the Year. So, you know, obviously not much of a surprise there. I think everybody listening knows at least how much I'm a fan of Braden. I know you are too. But, you know, just kind of another accolade, you know, for Braden there as he just keeps, you know, building on what could be a really special year for him.
Yeah, no, you're right, man. I think that, we're getting started early with some of these accolades. Yeah, like you said, him being preseason player of the year. Also, no, too, yeah, he was, I apologize for taking this from you. I think you're probably about to say it, but, you know, he's the only guy unanimously voted to be on the preseason Big Ten first team, which means all Big Ten first team. He had a phenomenal year last year, and you think about the way that Purdue's been able to retool this year and what they've been able to put around him, and you think about like what he could possibly do this year. It's kind of crazy to think too. We were talking before you recorded about the whole piece about how like it's the third straight year that someone from Purdue has been named preseason player of the year. It's just, I think, you know, when we talk about Purdue basketball from a larger standpoint, it's just kind of crazy to think that this is the time that we're in, you know, where year in and year out, we're having guys who are on, you know, first team preseason, who are player of the year preseason. I don't think many of us saw this coming maybe, you know, 10 or so years ago, but I'm glad we're here. But yeah, shout out to Braden, and hopefully this last year for him is the best one yet, him and TKR. And Fletcher.
And so for Trey, he was also named first team All Big Ten. Don't know how he wasn't a unanimous pick. He's All American last year, arguably the best big man in the conference, and whoever didn't vote him as First team all Big Ten, I would have some questions for, but he is a guy, Sim, that really seems like he could take off this year. If you've been following Boiler Ball, they've showed some highlights of him. He really seems to have some bounce in his game this year. It really feels like he can feed off more with a legitimate big man to play off of as well. We talked about last year how he just seems to be more comfortable playing the four and was kind of forced to play the five some last year. And it seems like, he is primed for just a monster year this year.
Yeah, no, I was talking about a second ago about like the way Purdue was able to retool and put pieces around Braden. I think the same can be said regarding TKR. You know, you bring in Clough, you have Liam Murphy, you're getting Jacobson back. Like you said, it allows Trey to then be able to play at the four. And I think too, you have two bigs, two guys who can play the five who can step outside. So in terms of clogging up the paint, you don't necessarily have to worry about that. So yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't know how he wasn't unanimous for first team too, because when you look at the list of guys who were on there, Trey and Braden to me were the two known entities that were like, yeah, these guys were absolute nightmares for teams last year. So I don't know how he wasn't on there. Yeah, like you said, to the person who to the person or persons
Right.
who didn't vote him as first team. I mean, yeah, it's like, let's have a conversation. And that conversation can be me calling you a help, but it is what it is. But yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do as well, man. I think he's gonna have a really, really good year too, because you know he'll be playing complementary to other bigs who I think present their own problems. And so I don't think defense are gonna be able to crash on him in the post the way they might have been able to last year. So yeah, I mean, TKR and Braden, I just the expectations for them are high. I know they probably have high expectations themselves, but I think even from the outside looking in, you're just kind of looking at it and you're like, there's no, so you want to say like, hey, there's no reason why these guys won't have two memorable years. So we can only cross our fingers and hope and pray that that actually comes to fruition.
Now, and I think that's a really good point to call out how both of the fives can step out and knock down perimeter shots as well.
Right.
That's one thing we really talked about last year that kind of hurt Trey some was that you didn't have that threat from the five. And so that'll be really interesting to see. But just to kind of put a bow on all of that, the rest of the guys joining Braden and Trey on the first team, all Big Ten is Bennett Sturts from Iowa, Yaxel Lettenborg from Michigan, Nick Martinelli from Northwestern, Nate Biddle from Oregon, Jackson Shellstad from Oregon, Donovan Dent from UCLA, and John Blackwell from Wisconsin. So really good list. But yeah, it is a preseason list, so we'll see kind of what happens. But like you said, the Boilermakers have had three straight Big Ten Player of the Year. Be really, really cool if we could get another one, whether it wants to be Braden, Trey, or anyone else. I don't think we'll be too choosy just as long as they are wearing the black and gold there.
Right, as long as we win it a lot, I'm straight cool with it.
And then one last thing to touch on for basketball before we switch gears over to the gridiron. But Sim, I did just want to highlight Matt Painter on Friday received the Purdue Alumni Association's Distinguished Award. He's the first alum to win the award since 1999. And if you haven't had a chance to watch the video, I recommend watching that. The Purdue basketball team tweeted it out. It was after practice on Friday. And it was really neat just to kind of see Paint's reaction. I definitely don't think he was expecting it at all. But just kind of really cool to see and well deserved for, I think, we both will probably die on the hill that he's, one of the best, if not the best, college coach in America. And so it's just really neat to see him get his flowers there on Friday.
Yeah, man. I know when I first saw the video, I myself was like, "What's going on here?" I didn't know like what, and I didn't even read the caption, so I was just kind of watching it, as it
You know,
was.
as it was.
And to see, yeah, like you said, for him to get such a prestigious honor, and they were saying that what was like the last time that, the first alum to earn the honor since 1999. And they talked about in the video, talk about everything that he's done for Purdue and will continue to do for Purdue. And as you mentioned, like I think he's one of, if not the best coach in college basketball. I mean, he just outside of being, I think, just a good X's and O's coach, I think in terms of him as a person and like the way I think he tries to instill in his players and whatnot, and now I think he's just being like a straight shooter with guys in terms of wanting them to be not only good players but good men. I mean, I think that the award is very deserving for Paint. So now let's go ahead and release some of those quarter zips for the vibes to celebrate them.
We'll take a couple here.
Right.
Shout out to Coach Paint, well deserved. Just want to kind of highlight there. But Sim, let's switch gears a little bit now. Let's talk about this game this weekend. As the Boilermakers get ready to head to Minnesota, to start a stretch of three of the next four on the road. Their first Big Ten road game, as they head to Minnesota, and hoping that this outcome is a little better than their last road game against Notre Dame. Obviously, it'll be a much different team, but we talked a little bit about the reactions from Coach Odom after the game last week and how we kind of thought, we jokingly said I wouldn't want to be at practice this week, but I'm really interested to see how this team responds this weekend. We kind of talked about how it's almost like a fork in the road type game. It seems to be a very winnable game. Obviously, they're going to have to play better than how they've played lately, but just kind of really interested to see how this team responds this weekend.
Yeah, man. I think we've talked about at different points throughout this season about how there was, there have been moments where, you wanted to see how the team responded. So when they won the first game of the year against Ball State, and especially like in dominating fashion, we're like, okay, well, how do they handle success? And they come out the next week, and obviously, yeah, you handle, this is Southern Illinois, you handle them. But then also we were asking the questions after they lost to, was it when they lost their first game about, okay, well, who are you going to like how are you going to respond back from that? How are you going to bounce back from that? And you're right. I think again, we're at another point where after having arguably your worst performance of the year, especially echoed by Coach Odom, you're definitely curious to see, definitely intrigued to see how this team comes out on, all three phases, because, as we talked about in the recap episode, like there, you can't really point to anybody in that game and excuse me, in that Illinois game and say, oh, well, well, this part was good. This part was good. I mean, like, yeah, the offense was good, but and in terms statistically, but, as we talked, when we drilled into the details, you have, time, you have drops and you have ill-timed turnovers, you have penalties. Obviously on defense, you have blown coverages, missed assignments, missed tackles. There's just a lot that this team didn't do well this past week. And so now you're very curious because, like you said, there's still winnable games on the schedule. I actually look at this game, this Minnesota game, as a winnable game. So there's still winnable games on the schedule. And so it's like, hey, there's still time to turn things around. And like, yeah, you can have a poor performance, but like, how do we respond back to that? How do we come out in a game where you will have an opportunity to win that? To win, where, like, how do you guys come out? Is this something where you're like, you've been chomping at the bit because practice was shitty all week, because they've been running you through hell, and you're like, hey, we gotta balance the scales after what happened last week. We want to get that winning feeling back, or does it become four straight losses? You hope it's, I mean, we definitely hope it's not that, but yeah, like you said, this is definitely a fork in the road game for this team. For kind of how the rest of this season is going to go, because it's not like October is really the last month where they, I think, if you look at the schedule, where there's genuinely multiple winnable games. Once you get in October, once you get into November, that's going to be hope and pray, respectfully.
Yeah, and Minnesota is a place where Purdue has had some success, especially recently. They've won their last two trips to Minnesota. And I don't think we're too worried about how the offense is gonna perform. They seem, to have a pretty good flow going right now. The one thing, and we talked a little bit about it on the last episode, but the one thing you really want to see, man, is get Mock going.
Right.
And against Minnesota, he has had some success.
Trez.
In his two games against them, he's ran for a total of 265 yards and a pair of touchdowns. So, he has done well against them, and I don't think, like we talked about, like if Ryan Brown throws, even 40 times, I don't think we're going to have a very fun recap episode. But if
Right.
Devin Mockabee has, somewhere between 15 and 20 carries, three or four receptions out of the backfield, that's where I think we might start to be a little bit more happy when we recap this game.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree. I think that, especially yeah, after watching last week, it's like, man, if you have Brown throwing the ball, I would say anything more than probably 30, 35 times, you're probably like, wait, what's that's going to give you that would give me a bit of pause in terms of like, wait, how, like, how the game is going. I agree with you. We talked about it on that recap episode, like you said. I just think you have to get the ball in Mock's hands. Historically, he's had good performances against Minnesota, but just in terms of being able to establish to try to establish the run. And then also just like he's just someone who I think on the scouting report, like PJ Fleck wanted to give a lot of credit to Ryan Brown. And I think that's very accurate and well deserved, because he is kind of the centerpiece, obviously being quarterback, especially in the style of offense that we run. But there are always going to be eyes on 45 in the backfield. There are always going to be eyes on him. And so to get him the ball early, to get him involved into the game, I just think that bodes well for you. Like I was looking over the stats of Minnesota's game against Rutgers, and Minnesota won that game. Well, yeah, then they won what, 31-28, but Rutgers outran them, and they like the time of possession was about even. And I think about that for us, and especially if we're thinking about complementary football and especially helping the defense out, which has not had their best showing. I mean, not just last week, but obviously the last, I would say last 2 weeks, last two times out. That getting the ground game established, and obviously that being led by with Mockaby, you're able to control the clock, control the game. And I think too, it does your defense solid, and that like you're giving them rest. So that way, every time that they're out on the field, they're rested. And then obviously the task falls on them in terms of getting off the field. But you're not running into the situation where you have a quick three and out because you tried three passing plays and you're unsuccessful in getting that first down. And now all of a sudden, you have your defense back out on the field. I just feel like for the rhythm, the cadence of the game, it is imperative to get Devin Mockabee the ball, whether that, like you said, whether that's handing it out the backfield, some short throws you have with him out of the backfield. I just think that that's really, really important. He needs to touch the ball more.
And while I don't think we're worried too much about the offense, we are very much worried about the defense. And really curious to kind of see how they as a unit respond to basically getting called out by their head coach.
Right.
The big play, you just gotta eliminate the big plays.
Yeah.
And this feels like an opportunity for the defense to kind of get right. If you look, I kind of talked about a little bit last time, but and this is no knock on Minnesota, but they're not offensively at the level as USC, Illinois, or Notre Dame. If you kind of look at their how their offense has put up points. You know, they scored 23 points at home against Buffalo. They scored 14 points on the road against Cal, 31 points at home against Rutgers, and then just 3 points last week in Columbus. So, you know, outside of the Northwestern State game where they won 66 to nothing, they're not really lighting up the scoreboard. Now, I know Drake Lindsey can play. He's a heck of a quarterback, but he's a young guy. You know, he's only made four starts in his entire career. To me, this just feels like a game for the defense, a prime opportunity to kind of bounce back.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. That's what exactly I would say. It's a prime opportunity for them to get their confidence back and get, you know, and get a case of the feel goods. Like you said, like it's not to say that Minnesota is a bad defense because I mean a bad offense because that's not what we're saying. I mean that's not what I'm trying to say at all. But
Oh,
like you said, you have
I
a young quarterback who doesn't have a lot of experience, and their offense, in terms of even with their running game, you haven't necessarily seen, like you pointed out with the points, they're not necessarily they haven't put up a lot of points, which doesn't give you the feel of like, hey, this team can kind of move up and down the field on you. So it seems as though they should be an offense that you're able to somewhat contain, but that requires us to be back to the level, I guess, to the level of play that we were at really earlier on in the season, and not so much from like obviously Minnesota's gonna be better than Southern Illinois or Ball State, but just in terms of guys flying to the ball, the way we were tackling, getting like, you know, if you're able to get some generate some pressure to the on the quarterback, like those type of things, those base things. And then for God Almighty, if Drake Lindsey throws you one, if he decides to get charitable, you must accept said charity offering. If he throws one out there and it hits a defender's head, you got to bring that in. You got to bring that in. Yeah, I'm more. Like you said, with the offense, I'm not as worried because even with some of the struggles they've had, I guess, with like finishing off drives, whether it's been like penalties or an ill-timed turnover, they've been able to move the ball. So you look at that and you're like, hey guys, we just need to tighten up some of these screws, tighten up some of the details. But the defense just seems like they just have a lot more that they need to kind of correct and to get back right on. And I'm hoping that they especially this past week have, you know, when watching the tape and just kind of just with their general memory of just knowing like how underwhelming their performance was. And like you said, you got called out by your coach. Like it was the first thing he did when he sat down was basically call you guys out. And I hope that they take that personally in the way of like, no, like that wasn't our best. We know we can play better, and we're gonna show that starting this Saturday. And I think if you see that Purdue team who's flying to the football and they're, you know, where guys know what their assignments are and guys are making tackles, I think that that bodes well for overall Purdue's performance. I genuinely do.
No, I agree. It'll be really interesting. Like, you know, I feel like we're kind of a broken record at this point, but like, defense needs to generate some turnovers, man. You just have to. Like, you're not gonna win a lot of games when you lose the turnover battle, and when you don't create any turnovers, that puts a lot of pressure on the offense. And so, you know, really interesting to see kind of how the defensive scheme, like we said, it's a freshman quarterback, Drake Lindsey, but he can really sling the ball, man. He's 92 of 143 this year for over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But you know, I just kind of reading through those games, you know, hasn't played a whole lot of quality teams so far this year. And so, you know, Minnesota is a team that's kind of hard to figure out, I feel like, then, because, you know, you see them beat Rutgers, you know, obviously they blow the doors off of Northwestern State, but, you know, that was just a bye win. And then, you know, they go to Cal and they lose by double figures. And then, you know, last week in Columbus, they get blown out and only get a field goal. So It's really hard to kind of know, what kind of team this Minnesota team is because, they really haven't played anybody.
Right. I don't want them figuring out anything this Saturday. Let me be very clear about that. I don't want them figuring out, oh, well, this is how we can run. No. Oh, this is how we can really work in the pattern. No. I don't want them figuring out none of that stuff. I think you're right. Like, you don't really know for sure what it is that they do, like, exceptionally. And like I said, Saturday, I'm just not trying to find that out. And kind of one thing I'll say about the defense, even kind of like a step down from what you're saying. Of course, like, we want them to be able to generate turnovers, but I think for this defense, I would say that what's more important is being able to get off the field, is being able to, like, if they shore up the tackling, and when you're getting in these third and five, third and six, third and seven situations, getting off the field, not do, especially depending on where it happens on the field. Like, if it's around midfield and it's third and eight and you give up 6, 7 yards, like, you're setting yourself up now to be in fourth and something situation. And I would, if this defense can just, hey, third and seven, third and six, and it's just, nope, you're like, tackle for loss, or, 1 yard, 2 yard here. So that way it's still very obvious, hey, we got to punt this away. I think that'll be a win for them as well. I think I've, again, like, turnovers are the premium. It's kind of what we, it's the desired hope. But even if they're just able to get off the field, because I've noticed that against against USC and Notre Dame and then Illinois, is that when we're at third and seven, third and eight, and then all of a sudden they get 6, 7 yards, and so now it's fourth and one, and they're like at their own 40, or they're around midfield, and it's like, well, yeah, of course they're gonna go for it. And it's like, you want to try to, minimize the number of situations that, when you're at, like, number of those situations, like, you want them to be going for it because, hey, they're down, 10, 14, there's 3 minutes to go. They don't have a choice. But for a team to be going for it on fourth and, fourth and two, as early as, like, the middle of the first or second quarter, like, no, like, you want to try to avoid those situations. Get off the field, and if you do your work downs one, two, and three, you don't have to worry about, fourth down. Fourth down is going to be a punt. So I would argue that that's, before we get to the turnovers, it's more of that. Like, can we just be getting stops and getting off the field?
No, I think that's a really good point. I think the other big thing for me is, with it being a night game under the lights, homecoming, it's going to be a raucous crowd. They got to get off to a good start, man. I think back to their first road game against Notre Dame and the very first play on defense, you give up a 60-yard bomb for a score. To me, that those first few drives are going to be really indicative of kind of how this game goes. Can the defense specifically get off to a good start? Because what you don't want to happen is a few big plays happen early, and then it just kind of snowballs, and you get in that mind frame of here we go again. So I'm gonna be really, I think that's gonna be a big point as well. Is just, getting off to a start here. Can you get a couple of stops early and kind of get some momentum, or is it gonna be, a lot like the Illinois game where they hit some big plays and then we're like, oh shoot, here we go.
Right. Well, they if they start the game like they did against Illinois, and you just take out that the turnover on the drive, when you're going, like, when they're driving to possibly go up, and in that game, it was 7-3, and they were driving to possibly go up 14-3. If you're able to kind of do that, but actually, like, finish off that drive, and especially if it's a touchdown, like you said, you start out, you jump on them early like that, you can quiet that crowd. And, like, I think that's a good point too, calling out the crowd and the atmosphere and the fact that it's homecoming, all the vibes will be there. I don't know if a night game in Minnesota is the same as a night game at Ross State, but it's a night game nonetheless. So, but yeah, so I think that being able to take the crowd out of it, and if you're able to jump on them early, that helps you do that. And again, that's why I think that being able to get mock the ball early, be established a run, and if you're able to, drive down the field a couple times, like you said, get a couple stops to start the game, get a couple scores, jump on them early. Then you're feeling like, okay, look, this game is kind of in our control. We need to, and obviously be committed to play the full 60, but, like, that That'll set you up for good. That'll set you up for good later on.
No, I agree. It'll be interesting to see again under the lights, a 7:30 kickoff. You can find it on Big Ten Network. Chris Vosters and Anthony Heron will have the call as the 3-2 Minnesota Golden Gophers host the 2-3 Purdue Boilermakers, looking for their first Big Ten win. Sim, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Does Coach Odom get his first Big Ten win this weekend? Thinking about this one hard.
I genuinely believe like this is a winnable game. Like earlier I was saying, hey, like in October you have some games that you can win. This game, I think the Northwestern game, we play Rutgers later in the month. Like those are the games that kind of stick out to me. Like, hey, you can win. The thing that makes me reluctant to pick Purdue is essentially what I saw last week, but also seeing how Odom in that presser was, I feel like these guys are going to be able to respond. So because of that, gonna have a change of course from the last couple of weeks, man. And I'm gonna say that Purdue wins 30-21.
Oh wow.
And I know.
I am here for it. I hope you are 100% right. You know, like we talked about, this is a tough one. I'm in the boat with you, like after seeing what we've seen the past couple weeks, it's really hard to kind of just come out and say, oh, yeah, Purdue's going to win this game. But also, to your point, like seeing the way that Odom reacted after the game, and, you know, I think we both have a lot of trust in Coach Odom and how he can coach these guys up, and, you know, what they've been doing this week. It's a really tough environment. The defense just worries me. And so we're going to be flipped on this one. I'm going to say that Minnesota wins a close one late. And I'm hoping that I'm reverse jinxing this one.
Right.
And that this is what it takes. If this is what it takes to get a Boilermakers win, then I will pick them to lose every week.
We will oppose. We will do this shit every fucking week if it means we're going to win. I don't give a fuck.
Who knew that would be all that it would take? But, you know, I do think it's going to be a really close game. I think it's going to be closer than 9. You know, I think it's going to come down to a special teams play late in the game. And, you know, I just really want the defense to prove it here. Like we talked about, this feels like a prime opportunity for them. And I really hope that they could come out and take advantage.
Right. No, I mean, when I think about the game kind of like in more detail in terms of what do I think like kind of keys to win, I think that for Purdue, I think you can get away with turning the ball over no more than once. Like, I think you can turn the ball over once. Okay, fine. You can probably live with that, especially, well, but that's, and it's more so depending on the timing of it. Like, if it's sometime in the first half, okay, cool, because you have possessions to make up for that. I think that's fine. I think they will have an opportunity or two on defense to get the ball. I genuinely feel that way. I'm with you, man. I chose Purdue to win. Obviously, I want them to win. No doubt about that. But I think that the key for them is you get mocked the ball, you start fast, and then you kind of just hold on, because they will make a charge. I'm sure of it. You know, though, they would make a charge. But the bigger thing for me is like if you see the Purdue team in terms of, like, on defensively, who's rallying to the football, guys are, you know, understanding their assignments, being where they're supposed to be, tackling, like, you know, sure tackling. I think at the bare minimum, I think we'll go to the fourth. And Purdue will either have the lead or they'll be like, it's like right there, you know, tied, or like you're down like 3 points where it's like, okay, look, you can go get it now. You can go get it. And yeah, I hope like hell that you're wrong. Once that way I can, you know, I can, I can come back on the recap pod and be like, well, some of us believed, others didn't, you know what I'm saying? And drag you for it appropriately, and also champion myself for being right. But yeah, it's
This is the one time where I hope that you're
oh, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it
right.
because I know you usually get salty when I am right. But anyways, but yeah, I just I do think, man, I think this is a game where they I'll be really, really upset if if they come out and lay an egg, man. I'll be really, really upset because it just this game just really seems like an opportunity to, hey, if we're gonna get this thing back on track, it'll start this Saturday. It'll start today. And yeah, I just fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed that I'm right. That you're wrong, you know. So yeah.
No, I 100% agree. This just feels like you said, like a prime opportunity, not only for the defense, but just kind of for this team in general. And to, really kind of try to find an identity on both sides of the ball. And, echoing what you said, like feed Mock, man, give 45 the ball and good things will happen. So hopefully they will listen to us and feed Mock the Rock, and we will be back next week to talk about a Boilermaker victory. But either way, we will be back to break it all down again. A 7:30 kickoff Eastern time on Big Ten Network. The Purdue Boilermakers traveling to Minnesota to take on the Golden Gophers. That'll just about do it on this one. I want to thank everybody for their continued support and interactions. We'll definitely look forward to some more interactions on Twitter during the game this weekend. Hopefully, we will all be riding a high of a Purdue victory. But win or lose, we'll be here next week to break it all down. We'll also discuss Media Day and also a couple big volleyball matches as well. So lots of fun stuff to discuss. But most importantly, everybody, boiler up.
Yes, sir.